Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a great song. I've never heard that, a garment of grace. And I think each and every one of us need a garment of God's grace in our life. Well, let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Psalm chapter number 92. Psalm chapter 92. And I want to encourage you with something. The book of Psalms is a wonderful book, as all of God's Word is. But the last seven chapters of the book of Psalms, we would call those praise chapters. I believe it's Psalm 144 all the way to Psalm 150. This week, as we are into the week of Thanksgiving, I would encourage you to take at least, you know, beginning tomorrow and read Psalm 144, and then Tuesday read Psalm 145 and so on. And meditate on those psalms as we think about our Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a part of our Thanksgiving, is being grateful for the people and the blessings that God has placed in our life. But really, the whole root of our gratitude is to God. And it has to do with who God is. Now, I know this year is different for so many people with Thanksgiving. And maybe getting with family is different this year. It's just a different time in our country. And I don't know about you as far as what your plans are. And I grew up in a home where my mom liked turkey, but none of us really liked turkey. So we had turkey, but we had ham as well, all right? Anybody in here, you don't like turkey? Would you raise your hand? All right, some of you are like that. Now, how many, you just have to have turkey on Thanksgiving. Would you raise your hand? All right, very, very good. Well, you know something, I learned something recently that often during this time, there is a lot of turkey confusion that goes on, all right, on how to prepare a turkey, on what to do. And it seems like an insurmountable job to me as far as that goes. In fact, back in 1981, a lady by the name of Pam Talbot, she worked for the Butterball Company, you know, that produces lots of these turkeys. And she pitched the idea to her senior advisors on having a hotline for people to contact when they were experiencing what she called turkey trauma, all right? Now, it's still going on today. There's actually a hotline that you can call Butterball, and you can ask them questions about how to prepare your turkey or what to do. In fact, from November, they say from November the 1st until Christmas Eve, they get over 100,000 calls dealing with turkey trauma, all right? Now, they have some stories that are just hilarious, you know, about people asking questions about their turkeys. And for instance, they've gotten questions about thawing the turkeys. And one man asked, could he thaw his turkey in the dishwasher? Could he do that, you know? And no, you can't do that, all right? Someone else asked, could I thaw my turkey under an electric blanket? You know, could I do that? No, you cannot do that. Someone asked, could they thaw their turkey in a backyard pool? Would that be presentable, you know, to be able to do that? And anyway, in fact, one man called into the turkey hotline, turkey trauma that he was dealing with, to the Butterball Company, and the other man on the other line was trying to help him, and he was trying to find out what stage of process his turkey was in, meaning was it being thawed, was it not being thawed, or was it just been taken out of the freezer, whatever. And the expert asked him, what state is your turkey in at this time? And the man said, Florida, you know. And so, no, it's not what he meant, you know. So anyway, so I don't know about you, about your turkey trauma. I hope that it goes well for you. But it is a time to eat. There's no doubt about it. And I think all of us plan to eat, maybe eat a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, a California scientist has computed that the average human being eats 16 times his or her own weight in an average year. That's pretty amazing. While they studied this, they also found out that a horse eats only 8 times its weight in a year. So to me, this all seems to prove that if you want to lose weight, just eat like a horse, all right? So I think that sounds great to me, you know, and so just enjoy. But I pray that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And on Tuesday evening, it is really a great time. I pray that you can be here. We'll enjoy some pie and coffee and tea together and just sit around a fellowship. But then we'll hear some testimonies, and I always enjoy hearing that, and just a good time to be together as God's people. We come to Psalm chapter 92, and I want to preach to you on this subject. It is a good thing to give thanks. It is a good thing to give thanks. Now, before I read the first, what I believe, six verses together that we will read here this morning, the Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I do believe that ingratitude and an unthankful spirit is sin in the eyes of God. And I think that every one of us would have to admit that we are guilty of this sin. It's easy to complain. It's easy to gripe. It's easy to get upset about things. But gratitude is something that God has commanded every one of us. We are to live with a thankful heart and a thankful spirit. This morning, it is a good thing to give thanks. Psalm chapter 92, let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with the solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Would you notice verse number 6? A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Now, I believe in the first 6 verses of Psalm chapter 92, we are encouraged to know that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And by the way, why is it that we have to be reminded to give thanks? Because it doesn't come naturally. Naturally, our hearts are ungrateful. Our hearts are hearts that we just want to complain and criticize. And by the way, we've had a tough year. I think all of us would agree to that. 2020 has been rather difficult for everyone. We've dealt with the pandemic. We've dealt with the election confusion that is still going on. We've dealt with lots of trials and testing and lots of confusion. I think that's been one of the biggest things. And lots of uncertainty. Even right now, there's uncertainty. I'm sure some families with, are we going to be able to get together? And what's going to happen? And different things like that. But I believe that our gratitude does not rest on our circumstances of life. Our thanksgiving does not rely upon what is going on around us. In fact, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience to the Lord. Now, we all know what it is to feel thanksgiving, to feel that we are thankful, maybe at a special time with our family, that we are so grateful to be with our family. There's nothing wrong with that, and we should be grateful. We know what it is to feel gratitude. Maybe when someone has done something very kind and gracious to us, we feel thanksgiving. But really, gratitude is of a choice. It is a matter of our obedience to the Lord. In fact, God commands us to be thankful, and God never commands us to do something that He does not enable us to fulfill. All throughout God's Word, we think of gratitude. In fact, you think about the man named Job. I'm going to tell you something. None of us have gone through what Job went through. Job, think of this, for no reason really that we understand in the Bible, God never told Job why He allowed things to happen in his life. But God allowed Satan to touch the life of Job. Job lost all of his children in one day. Think of that. Just losing one child would be just unbelievable, painful, and heartache. But Job lost all of his children in one day. His health was gone. And in fact, his wife, really his only family member left, said, Job, won't you just curse God and die. Job went through it. He lost his finances. He lost his name, his reputation. In fact, if you read the book of Job, you'll find out that his friends kind of forsook Job during that time. And Job was at a difficult point in his life. Where is thanksgiving for Job? Where is gratitude? There's nothing to be thankful for. But Job said in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, may I read it to you? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Do you know that the Bible says, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in Psalm chapter 92, would you notice what the Bible says? It is a good thing, verse 1, to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. That's exactly what Job said. Job said, I want to bless the name of the Lord. I want to look to the Lord and get my eyes on the Lord, because that is where my gratitude really is. You see, sometimes we like to think, well, Pastor, I just don't have a lot to be thankful for right now. Pastor, I'm not going to be with my family, and my job situation is not good, and things are just bad in my life, so I don't have any reason to be thankful. If that is all that you attach your gratitude to, you will never really be a grateful person. Our gratitude should be attached to who the Lord is and what he means to you and me. Look back in Psalm chapter 92. I love what the psalmist says here. In verse 1 at the end of that, he says, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. He goes on in verse 2 and he says this, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. And then he goes on to say, and thy faithfulness every night. That means throughout the entire day, we can always live with gratitude on his faithfulness and his loving kindness. I want you to know something this morning, that God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness never change for you and me. It just never changes. You know something? Because God loves us today, we should be grateful. His loving kindness. Listen, his loving kindness, what does that mean? Oh, that has to do with his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion, his love to you and me. His loving kindness. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. His loving kindness. Listen, if you want to be thankful, meditate on the loving kindness of our God. You'll never exhaust his loving kindness. And the Bible says that we should show forth his loving kindness in the morning. And then it says his faithfulness every night. Think about the faithfulness of God. Folks, I want you to know something. God has every reason not to be faithful to you and me. He has every reason. We have given him a million reasons why not to be faithful to you and me, but his faithfulness changes not. He's the same God. Look, does anything really stay the same in our world? No. You know, someone once said that death and taxes are unchangeable, all right? Okay? And that's about it, you know? Death is certain and taxes may be certain, you know? But the problem is, we live in a world, people change, our economy changes, our government changes, and things change, but his loving kindness and his faithfulness never change for you and me. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Folks, giving thanks really changes our perspective and it gives us peace during a time of uncertainty. I think that so many people have struggled with despair right now in our country. No doubt about it. I believe, in fact, many Christians, if we would all admit, all of us have struggled with maybe just discouragement over what has happened and what is happening in our country. And it seems as if the wicked are winning, per se. But I want you to know something. In the midst of all that is happening, God commands us to be grateful children of God. We are to live with an attitude of gratitude to our Heavenly Father because of his loving kindness and because of his faithfulness. I thank God for this. May the Lord help us. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 12. And I want to show you something. And we're in Romans chapter 12. And then after that, we'll turn somewhere else in the New Testament. But Romans chapter number 1. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 1. And we'll look in verse 21. Romans chapter 1. And let's begin there. Do you know that ingratitude is not only a sin, but ingratitude puts us on dangerous ground? Do you know that living with ingratitude opens the door for other sins in your life? Ingratitude is a dangerous spot to be as a child of God. Because often, in fact, one person said that an ungrateful person is only one step away from getting their needs met illegitimately. But you say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Let me say this to you. A person, a husband or a wife, would never commit adultery if they were really thankful for the spouse that God gave them. They'd never commit adultery. You would never steal if you were really grateful for what God had given you with your possessions. You'd never steal. You would never be envious of other people's talents and their abilities if you are grateful for the abilities and the talents that God had given to you. You see, ingratitude, we all would agree that it is sin in the eyes of God. But ingratitude is a heart issue, and it's a dangerous place to live because ingratitude leads to other sins. You say, how do you know it? Romans chapter 1, look what the Bible says in verse number 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were, what's the next word? Thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, do you understand the implications of their ingratitude? The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They were not thankful. And then the Bible says, but became vain in their imaginations. They began to imagine things that were not correct and not true about God and not true about what God had been to them. And the Bible says, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, stay right there in Romans, but would you remember what I read to you earlier in Psalm 92? The Bible says, you remember verse 6, a brutish man. That brutish man, he's an ungrateful man. It says, he knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Folks, ingratitude leads to sin in our lives. It leads to, listen, when children are ungrateful for the parents that God has given them, when they are ungrateful for the blessings that they have, the food, the clothes, and the house that they live in, when they're ungrateful for all of those things, it leads that child into more sin in their life. When a husband or a wife becomes ungrateful for the spouse that God has given to them, it opens the door to other sins in their life. And folks, can I tell you something? We as God's people, we should be grateful for the church that God has given us to worship. Amen. We should be thankful. You know something? There are people that would give anything to have a church like we have here at Grace Baptist Church. They'd give anything. But you know what? If you allow your foolish heart to become darkened, if you allow your heart to become unthankful for the place and the people with whom God has put you to worship with, guess what will happen to your life? You will become very foolish, and it will open the door to other sins. You know what? We have a Christian school here, and I thank God for our Christian school. But you know what? When young people become unthankful for the education that God has given to them, whether it's a Christian school or a public school or homeschool or whatever it may be, it leads to other sins. When parents are no longer thankful for teachers that God has placed into their children's lives to influence them and to help them, can I tell you what it leads to? Criticism. It leads to sins. When we are not thankful for whom God has put in our lives, guess what? We become fools. We become that brutish man. He doesn't understand what gratitude really is. And he's a fool to live that way. Folks, you say, well, Pastor, this is supposed to be a time of holiday cheer. But I think that we should understand the sin of ingratitude. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Number one, let's talk about this good thing. Number one, do you know that a grateful person is a humble person? Do you know that gratitude is really has to do with our gratefulness to God, but it is a part of our humility? Do you know something? An ungrateful person feels that I deserve so much more than this. You know why we are not thankful? Because we're proud. Pride says, I deserve better than this because I really am better. I'm really somebody really special. We are all special in the eyes of God, and God has created us and He loves us. But when we are ungrateful, it is a sign of pride in our life. In fact, a great preacher said of years gone by, he said, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he really deserves. You see, this ideal is, some people think, well, yeah, I know, Pastor, I should be a little more thankful. And yeah, I need to work on that in my life. And Thanksgiving is a good time to do that. Listen, it goes deeper than that. It is a deeper problem in our heart. We are not grateful because we are proud people. In fact, have you ever come to the place in life where you're angry at God? Where you think God has not been fair to you? When you compare yourself with other people and you think, God, you've not done me as good as you've done other people. And you're almost bitter against God. Can I tell you what that is? It's nothing but pride because you think that God has not been as good to you as He should have been. A grateful Christian really is a humble Christian. In fact, a grateful heart is God-centered, while an ungrateful heart is self-centered. I mean, really, why is it that little children, you know, I seen a little comic one day that a little girl was helping her brother and teaching him about Christmas time. And she said to him, she said, now look, when someone gives you something, you pause and wait for them to say, now what do you say? You know, because why is it that we have to tell children, now what do you say? How many parents have ever had to do that to your child? All right. Every parent in the history of mankind, you know. Why? Because children are not grateful, but adults are not naturally grateful. They're just not naturally grateful. You know something? It seems to be odd today. It seems to be uncommon for people to say thank you. Why? Because really, when we are proud and we think we deserve something, we don't say thank you. We are not grateful people. In fact, a grateful person is thinking about others. They're interested in others. But a person that lacks gratitude is very selfish and self-centered. In fact, do you know that ungrateful people are demanding people? They want something done and they want it now. They are demanding to other people, but grateful people are free to be giving and loving and caring in life. It is a good thing to give thanks because when we are not thankful, it is an indication of the pride within our heart. Fanny Crosby is probably one of my favorite hymn writers of years gone by. In fact, you know that Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 songs in her lifetime. It's just amazing. Do you know that Fanny Crosby was born with sight? And it was not until 6 weeks later that a doctor, who the main doctor was not there, and this was just a doctor that had to kind of fill in. And the doctor accidentally, he didn't mean to, but he put the wrong solution in the six-week-old baby's eyes. And you know what happened? It blinded little Fanny Crosby. She was born with sight, but she was blinded. You know something? A lot of people would have become very unhappy, would have become bitter, would have become almost miserable, troubled people. In fact, you know else about Fanny Crosby's life? Not only when she was 6 weeks old did the doctor put the wrong solution blinding her, but when she was very young, her father died. She was left to be raised by her mother and her grandmother. But you know what? Fanny Crosby was a grateful person. She was a woman of gratitude because her gratitude was not based on circumstances or on the things of life. Her gratitude was to God. In fact, Fanny Crosby said this. She said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all of my life, and I thank Him for this gift." Fanny Crosby, she considered it a gift from God. In fact, Fanny Crosby also went on to say, "I could not have written thousands of hymns if I'd been hindered by the distractions of seeing all of the interesting and beautiful objects in life that would have been presented to my notice." She said, "Always I can look for a reason to be grateful." And when she was 8 years of old, she wrote this little poem. She said, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." 8-year-old little child. She's blind. She'll never be able to do what other people could do. And yet Fanny Crosby was a grateful person. You know what? Some of us, we don't even understand that. In fact, verse number 6 of Psalm 92 says, "A brutish man, he understands that. He doesn't understand the loving kindness of God and the faithfulness of God. He doesn't understand to sing praises to God. He doesn't understand to lift up the name of God. He doesn't understand that. Neither doth a fool understand that." You know what? Every one of us this morning, we have been like that brutish man. We're brutish sometimes, aren't we? We're just kind of brutish. We're rude. We're crude. We're unthankful. We're demanding. We're critical. We have that spirit about us at times. And it's a wrong attitude because of the loving kindness and the faithfulness of our God. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord because, number one, a grateful Christian is a humble Christian. Number two, a grateful Christian enjoys contentment. Have you ever asked yourself the question, when will I ever be content? You know? I mean, years ago, a man was asked, it was a billionaire during that time, and he asked him, "How much money is enough for you?" And he said, "Just a dollar more. Just a dollar more." You know what? Is it not amazing that we struggle with contentment? Take your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and let's look at what the Bible says here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and a very important passage. In fact, years ago, a preacher told the story about a church leader who had come to the United States from India. He was a church leader there in India. And he came to the States, and he was here for just a couple of years. And he was getting ready to go back to India. He'd been in the States to receive some training and more education and all of that. But a pastor of the church that this man was visiting for the 2 years asked him, he said, "John, I want to ask you a question. What do you think of Americans after being here for 2 years?" And the man from India, the church leader, said, "Do you want me to be honest with you?" And the pastor said, "Yes." And he said this. He said, "You Americans have no idea how much you have, and yet you always complain." You know, we know that's true, don't we? We know it's true. We know it's true about us personally, and we know it's true in our country. I know America maybe is not what you would like it to be or what it used to be years ago. But folks, we ought to be grateful that we still live in the United States of America. We still ought to be. And as I preached last week, our God is sovereign. Our God is in control. He's on the throne. He knows all things. But a grateful Christian is not only a humble person, but they are a Christian who enjoys contentment. You know what I have found with some people? They are always looking. What are they looking for, Pastor? Something more, something better. You know what? You'll never find it. You never will. You know why? Because things change. Things don't stay the same. That thing that you enjoyed years ago is now in a trash heap somewhere, you know? Now, or it might be in an antique store somewhere, you know? That thing that you enjoyed, that thing that brought so much convenience and comfort to you, is now so far obsolete. How can we enjoy contentment here in a changing world? By being a grateful person. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Bible goes on to say in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, that means they live to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Folks, God has commanded us that we are to be content. Be content with what God has given to you. Be content with where God has placed you. Be content. Folks, God can move people. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with being moved to a different state or a different job or whatever it may be. But are we living with contentment? You know, a grateful Christian, they enjoy contentment. Look, do you know what contentment is? I think I know what discontentment is. Just discontented. Just not happy with anything. And that spirit is never intended for the child of God. You know what? Ungrateful people often become prisoners to bitterness and discontentment in their life. They're prisoners to it. They're bitter because of what happened in their childhood. Listen, I'm not excusing the wrong that happened in a person's childhood. But may I say this to you? God doesn't want you to live in bitterness and discontentment. I'm not excusing and I'm not saying that nothing ever happened to you. But God has made our Christian lives in such a way as to where we can live with peace and joy and contentment, not because of what is going to happen or the good things that we hope to happen in our life. It's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you understand that our contentment is connected to Christ and who Jesus is? It is not connected to the changing things of this world. Oh, may God help us to live with a content heart. I read back in Psalm chapter 92, and would you just listen to what the Bible says? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Folks, when we think about people that are just discontented, have you ever met someone before like that? They're just not happy about anything. If the sun is shining, it's too bright for them, you know? If they're discouraged about the weather, it's something else they want, you know? If it's raining, they're upset. If it's snowing, they're upset. Listen, we ought to be thankful for what God has placed in our life. In fact, when we think about people who are chronically unhappy, I mean, that's just who they are. People who are chronically depressed and chronically frustrated and emotionally unstable. I believe that most of those disorders in their life stem from an ungrateful heart. I really do. Now look, I'm not saying that the problems that they face or have faced aren't real. I believe the problems are real. I'm just saying that when you go back to the root, you will find the root of ingratitude. That's what you'll find. Yes, okay, have something happened in your past? No doubt about it. Is someone unkind to you? No doubt about it. Someone hurt you? I'm sure that's true and real. But really the reason for our unhappiness and our discontentment stems to an ungrateful heart. No matter what happens to you, we can still be Christians that enjoy a sense of fullness and joy in life because we are giving thanks unto the Lord. Folks, an ungrateful person, they always live with that gnawing sense of emptiness. They're looking for something more. They're just not grateful. So we see, number one, that a grateful Christian is a humble Christian, and an ungrateful Christian is a proud Christian. Secondly, a grateful Christian, they enjoy contentment, but an ungrateful Christian enjoys discontentment. Number three, and the last thing this morning, a grateful Christian has learned to express their gratitude. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you wish you could go back and express your gratitude to them? How many would be honest and say, I have someone in my thoughts? Would you raise your hand? Yes. You know something? We always think, well, one day I'll express my gratitude to them. I can think of teachers that I wish I could find to express my gratitude to them. But you know what? I can't now. Some of them are with the Lord. I wish there were some people in my life that God placed in my life that I could express my gratitude to them. We often are bad about expressing our gratitude. We're just bad about it. In fact, Galatians chapter number 6, I want to read something to you, what the Bible says here. In Galatians 6 and verse 6, would you just listen to what the Bible says? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Do you know that God commands us to communicate unto others who have been a blessing and a help to us? We are to communicate unto them. We are to be a blessing unto them and to communicate to them. Folks, God wants us to express our gratitude. Husbands, can I encourage you to thank your wives for what they've done to you and been a blessing to you? You ought to thank them. In fact, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Romans chapter number 5 and let's look at verse number 20. And I want to show you something here. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. I'll tell you, often I am so convicted about our ingratitude. Romans chapter 5, and would you notice verse number 20? Thank you. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Notice what the Bible says. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to notice where the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The lady sang that song, it's beautiful. And talked about grace. I want to ask you a question because I brought you to this to ask you this question. How much thanksgiving should we give to God? Have you ever thought that? How much? How much gratitude should we express to our God? And we're bad about expressing our gratitude to people and expressing our gratitude to God. We're just bad about doing it. I mean, when's the last time we spent time in prayer and all we did was thank God for who He is and for what He has done in our lives? When's the last time? I don't know about you, but often we are good about just asking the Lord for things. And we should. He said, you have not because you ask not. But is that all we do in our prayer time? Parents, is it that you want your children to only ask you for things? Is that it? I've told you this story years ago on a Christmas morning when our children were real little. And Abby was probably 5 or 6 years of age. I remember we had presents, and you know, when kids are little, Christmas is a little more simpler, you know. As they get older, it gets a little more difficult, you know. You know what I'm saying, parents, especially with teenagers. And we have 3 of them, all right? You pray for us, all right? And I've only been to the mental ward twice since that time. No, but I'm joking, all right? But I remember that Christmas morning. I'll never forget it. We had gifts there for Abby and Caleb. Joshua wasn't even born at the time. And Abby opened up a gift. She looked at it. I mean, she didn't really play with it too much. She opened it up and ran to me and to my wife and hugged us and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she ran back to open another gift. When she opened the gift, she ran to us and hugged us and kissed us and ran back to the other gift. I was about ready to go get some more gifts, you know. I mean, I was like, this is good. This is nice. Like this situation here, you know. But you know what? That meant so much to us. I mean, I haven't forgotten it because of the gratitude. You know, how often we are just so guilty, and I am guilty of saying, Lord, thanks, appreciate that. And we are just not grateful to God. We just don't really thank Him. How much thanksgiving should we give to God? I'll tell you, how much grace has God given to you? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God has had abundant grace on you and me. We deserve to spend eternity in a place called hell because of our sin. We have sinned against a righteous and a holy God. We have sinned against Him. And how much grace should we extend to God in thanksgiving unto Him? How much grace has God given to you? Listen, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In fact, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The word abounding means overflowing. I mean, overflowing its banks. Folks, most of us, we have to kind of be, come on, be grateful. We have to have messages, and I have to have messages. And we all have to be reminded to be thankful to God. But we should abound with thanksgiving. It should just flow out of our heart in our time of prayer and in our attitude towards others, our gratitude towards others. Husbands, you ought to abound in thanksgiving to your wives. You ought to thank them. I mean, when's the last time you thanked your wife for what she does around the house and her faithfulness to you and taking care of the children? When's the last time? What about us? What about us as God's people in our church? When's the last time we thanked Sunday school teachers and we thanked others for their labor and their help? We have a bad spirit about us when we fail to express our gratitude. You know, I think sometimes we are grateful, but we just don't tell people about it. We don't express our gratitude. You know what? As a pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I get a note, a little note that says, thank you, Pastor, it means the world to me. Yesterday in the mail, I got a little card from a young lady that her dad is my good friend. And when I preached up at the youth conference last week, she sent me a card. A thank you card. And I'll just be honest with you. It floored me to get a thank you card. And I got a thank you card from a young person saying, thank you for the messages God used him to speak to my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. It just meant the world because we're surprised by gratitude today, are we not? We must learn to express our gratitude. We should abound with thanksgiving. Ladies, thank your husband. Express your gratitude to your husband. Children, thank your mom and dad. They may have a heart attack, but thank them anyway, all right? I mean, you may have to get them up off the floor, you know, and, you know, prop them up or whatever. But thank them. Folks, we ought to thank those that God has placed in our life. Thank your friends. Thank the people in your life. Listen, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You see, folks, our gratitude should rest on who God is. Now, look, I understand that this year has been a tough year, you know. I understand it. And, you know, Friday I spent a long time visiting folks in our church. I told my wife when I got back, it's hard to see people that are struggling with their health and struggling with things that they're going through. And as a pastor, I go and I sit and I listen and I pray and I go to the next house and I listen. And you know, the burdens, it's just hard. And I came back after many visits, hours of visits, and I told my wife, I said, it's hard to hear all that's happening with people. I'm burdened for them. And you know something, I feel something in my heart where, Lord, help them. But you know what I found with so many of those people? They were still thankful. And honestly, when I come back, I'm thinking, I just don't understand. Where is the gratitude? But their gratitude is not connected to their circumstances. It's not connected to their trials. It's not connected to their heartache. It's not connected to their discomfort of pain or whatever they may be having. Their gratitude is connected to a God who loves them, who cares for them, a God who is faithful. And that is where our gratitude should be connected. In fact, do you remember when the disciples came back from preaching? And boy, they had a good time. I mean, they were preaching. They came back to give a report to the Lord Jesus. And they talked about how that even the devils are subject unto them. And they were praising the Lord. And you know what Jesus told them? He said, listen, rejoice not in those things, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, folks, that's where we ought to rejoice. Are you a child of God today? Live with gratitude. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Live with thanksgiving today. And listen, day by day, what a thank God for His loving kindness. And Liz, I'll encourage you to do this. Study the loving kindness of God. Listen, you'll never exhaust that. His loving kindness, that He thinks upon us, He looks upon us, He hears us, He sees us, He likes us. He cares for us. His loving kindness, you'll never exhaust it. And think about His faithfulness. Folks, even when we are not faithful, He's still faithful to you and me. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. May God help us as a church to confess our ingratitude to God and to others, but to develop a spirit of gratitude to God. By the way, it's a choice. It's not, well, I just don't feel grateful. It is a choice that we must make. May God help us. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You for this morning, and we thank You for the time that we have to come and to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that You will help us as Your children to live with gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, really, we know that just because of our salvation in Jesus Christ, we have everything to be thankful for. Help us today, but forgive us. Lord, I pray that our church as a whole would be a church that we thank You for Your blessings. Oh God, help us to live with a worshipful heart of gratitude before You. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you something. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I am convicted this morning about my lack of gratitude to God and to others. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. Amen. Amen. My hand is raised as well. And how many would say, Pastor, I want to be a grateful Christian. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand to that? It's me. Amen. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Oh, today, may God do a great work in our hearts as we praise Him and thank Him. Today, we're just going to let the piano play in just a moment. And we're not going to sing together because I want to give you the opportunity to come to this altar. And by the way, a grateful Christian is a humble Christian. You have to humble yourself to leave your seat and come and to say, Lord, help me. I want to be grateful. Maybe you husbands ought to take the hand of your wife and come to this altar and let her hear you pray. And maybe many of you young people ought to come and thank God for your parents. Maybe many of you ought to come and just say, Lord, thank you for my church. Thank you for my salvation. And let us live with gratitude to God. Father, bless this invitation. Help us, Lord, to obey you, to choose to be grateful. Forgive us this morning of our ingratitude. And Lord, help us to live with a grateful heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come? I want to thank you for being here this morning, and the Lord gave us a good service today. And you know, when I preach like this, I preach to myself because I need this more than anybody does. And I want to be a grateful person, and it's a choice, and God can help us, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and allow us to be grateful people. Tonight, I'd like to finish this message. You say, I thought you finished. Well, just began, all right? And I want you to be here. And tonight, we'll continue this theme, and I pray that God can help us. We are going to have the Lord's table tonight, and we're trying to do the best we can with being as safe as we can. So we've got a plan, so I want you to be here if you could. And we haven't had the Lord's table for a long time just because of everything, but tonight we plan to do that. And I think it's great to do it the Sunday evening before Thanksgiving, because really that's what the Lord's table is all about. It's doing it in remembrance of the Lord. And so I pray that you can be here for that. If you can come on Tuesday morning, if you're not working or maybe you're off, come over and watch the kids. It's a lot of fun. We'll have a great time. And there's some acting going on and things like that. We always have actors, you know, but this is trained acting, all right? So we'll have that. And we trust you to be here. Continue to pray for the renovations. They're moving along. And I heard from the Pew Company this week. And we are on schedule after the delay in schedule. We're on schedule for the delay, all right? And so, which is good. So mid-December, the pew should be installed. Close to that, the carpet will be installed. I'm looking forward to getting back in there. And but I appreciate your patience. And by the way, we're thankful that we have this building right here, you know? And if not, we'd be in the gymnasium, all right? And that would be a little more difficult. Or some churches don't have any place to meet if they're renovating. So we are very, very blessed people. And let us remember that, all right? I want to encourage you, Psalm 144 through Psalm 150, maybe read a psalm and meditate on it. Take a day and do that with each psalm, and I believe God will use it and help you with our gratitude in a special way. My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today, and thank you so much for coming. Brother Stevenson, would you come and lead us and close us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us, and thank you for our salvation and all the many things that you give us. Thank you for this country and this church. Lord, I pray that we would share our thankfulness with those who are around us, not just at this time of year, but every day of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would show one of our ways of thankfulness to you is by serving you with our lives and giving everything we have, everything we own to you, Lord, that you can use it in whatever way you see fit. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, bring us back tonight, and give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.